Well, praise the Lord. Tonight, we're going to go into the last part of our series called Sound Doctrine. And we're going to talk about stewardship. And so we're going to look to the Lord in prayer again. How many of you believe that the Lord grows weary from hearing prayer? You know, I've had to tell a lot of folks many times that, you know, they do things too much. I've literally, there are people in this church that I've gone to and I say, you're giving too much. I know what your income is. But now listen, you're not going to pay God back. I know that that's contrary to a lot of philosophy and perhaps some theology, but I'm pastor and I got to take care of this flock. And I've seen people give so much more than they could give. And I'm not talking about every now and then. I'm talking about all of the time. And I've had to go to them and say, listen, let's back off just a little bit and let's breathe. And let's just be able to pay our bills without worrying about it and pay our rent and take care of the car and the family and food on the table. You can sacrifice. And they did. They still continue to sacrifice. And God has blessed them greatly because of it. But you know, I've never had to go to anybody and say, look, buddy, you're praying too much. You just pray too much. Pray, pray, pray. That's all you do. I've never had that problem. Never had to go to anybody for that. I don't believe you can pray too much. I don't believe you can call on the name of the Lord. One thing for sure, the word of the Lord says, pray without ceasing. Amen. That doesn't mean your knees on the floor, hands coupled, eyes closed, 24 hours a day. It means that if you're not praying, it's on your mind. If you're not praying, it's on your mind. Hallelujah. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer again and ask God to bless this season of teaching. I pray God will bless our preaching and our teaching and our reaching. Master, in the name of the Lord, your spirit, power, and presence, the anointing that continues to break the yoke, it's in this house tonight. And I ask you, Lord, to place the word of the Lord in our hearts that we might not sin against thee, O God. As David said of old, I pray here right now, Lord, that you would put the word of God in our hearts, that you would put in our minds and our spirits. Use us for your glory, for your kingdom, and for your will. Master, you have saved and redeemed and set free. Now use us as humble servants for the kingdom of God. And everybody shouted amen. God richly bless you just now as you're seated. Hallelujah. There's a good atmosphere in the church tonight, and I praise the Lord for that. The earth and all of its fullness belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Christians have been made stewards of these possessions, and they are redeemed for personal usage by rendering the first tenth of all one's increase back to the Lord, giving it back from whence it came. Failure to do this, the word of the Lord says, is to rob God. Of the remainder, one is to give offerings for the advancement of God's kingdom. When a person accepts this plan, God accepts the responsibility of providing for him. I don't know how you feel about it, but many years ago, I decided to do what I was supposed to do with my income, and I still do. And it made me feel good to know that I've turned a responsibility over my provisions over to someone greater than myself. I wasn't doing a really good job at it. When I came into the church, I was making $100 a week. Told you I wasn't doing a good job. And I told the Lord, and this is what I was going to do. I said, Lord, I'm going to start tithing on what I want to make. And I did. And just a couple of weeks later, believe it or not, I got another job and I was making exactly what I was tithing 2 weeks before. My only problem was is that I didn't tithe more. trust God for a little more. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, without fail, God will provide if you'll give what belongs to Him. Now let's look at our key verse tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Let's look at the word of the Lord. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also, how? And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also, how? Bountifully. Amen. So, simple scripture speaking to us here tonight, letting us know that, listen, what you have in your pocket right now, or what you have in your bank account, that's your harvest. That is your total harvest. That's it. Don't make me begin to talk about how much interest you're getting on your savings, because that's pitiful. How many of you remember when it was like 7%? That's when we should have been saving. And so, whatever you have right now in your account, your CDs, your investments, whatever you have in your pocket, that's your harvest. But the very moment you begin to break pieces of that off and give it to the Lord, that part became seeds. And when you plant seed, something's going to grow. I found out not long ago that if a person planted a kernel of corn and left it in the ground, and a person was to gather everything that one kernel of corn grew within 3 years, you would have a cornfield the size of the United States of America in 3 years from one kernel of corn. I have never complained about what anybody gave in this church, but I've always challenged you to do your best. And so whether the man that gave $2 or the man that just gave $200, it's irrelevant if both people are doing their best. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because both of them are planting seed, and the seed is going to come forth, and it's going to grow, and you will be blessed. It's the only scripture where the Lord said, "Try me and see." And He said, "I will open the windows of heaven and the doors of glory and pour you out things that you will not even be able to contain." You'll have to continue to give it because it'll be more than you need. And that's the way it works. What is a steward? In the Bible sense, a steward is one who manages the affairs of another. That's what a steward is. Believers have been made stewards of God's heritage and His creation. These spiritual treasures have got to be properly handled in addition to the material possessions the Lord has given us. The word steward is most often associated with one's financial responsibility to God's kingdom. Amen. That's what this lesson is going to reveal tonight. Now, let's look at accepting God's plan. Amen. Many people have paid large fees to sit down with a financial advisor and get assistance in money management. This is often good, and it can be very beneficial, since a lot of people lack talent in this particular area. But you've got to realize that God also has authored a financial plan that is absolutely foolproof. However, it requires one virtue that not everyone in this world possesses, and that is faith in God. You've got to start somewhere. And if you're waiting for your boat to come in before you start giving to God, guess what? Your boat is already sunk. Amen. And if you're waiting for your ship to come in, you're going to find out one day that it's just a John boat. This finance guide is found in Matthew, and you can read about it in chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Let me tell you what's going to happen. A master must be chosen. Everyone's got to choose a master. The word mammon is derived from the name of a Greek god of wealth and riches. It is referred to when riches are regarded as an object of worship and greedy pursuit. One simply cannot serve God and mammon. You've heard that. If he can't trust God, then his trust must be in wealth and riches. My Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But the wise man will serve the Lord. If talk of tithing and offerings causes a little consternation in a person's heart, the individual serving the wrong God. A true child of God wishes he had more to give to the kingdom of God. Am I right? Amen. Now, when we do what we're supposed to do, who becomes the provider? Somebody shout it. Jesus said that the Gentiles spent all their time worrying about houses and clothes and daily provision. Yet the Christian is instructed to take no thought of these things. The lilies do not have, listen, plant life, trees, lilies, things of that nature. They don't have worry wrinkles. And the fowls of the air, they don't have ulcers. Yet God has provided for them. He has also promised to provide for his followers, but with one provision. Verse 33 requires one to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Secondly, thirdly, fourthly. What does it say? What's the correct way to say it? Seek the kingdom of God when? Everybody shout it. First. We are to seek the kingdom of God first. His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto us. One has no claim to the promise until he has met the provisions. We have no claim to the promise until we've met the provision. Amen. I'll never forget it. And I'm not saying to boast. I'm just saying this because it's an illustration. And I know myself better than anyone else. But I remember in battling throat cancer and being so close to the brainstem back there in the nasal pharynx area that they could not remove the tumor. And you went with me through that journey, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate not being alone on that trip. And but what God did in his delivering and what he did in his healing, I shall never forget. Where God took me and where God brought me, the things that God achieved in my life, I will never, ever forget. The miracles, signs and wonders, the visions and the dreams and the things that the Lord gave me, I will never share with a lot of people because you just simply wouldn't believe it. But God took me to a very personal place. Anyhow, but that being said, God healed my body and brought me out of that. In the duration, I tried to save a little money. When the doctors told me I may have a problem, I began to save right then. In the process of time, I accumulated about $5,000. I didn't have a lot of money to leave my wife. And I didn't have a lot of money to leave my family. Most everything we gave. Listen, we didn't even have insurance until just before I was diagnosed with cancer. We had been here a long time before we even had insurance. And I just didn't want to take it out of the church. I just simply wanted to grow a church and have apostolic revival. And so the Lord dealt with me about that, and we took out insurance. It was so near to the place where I was diagnosed until I just knew Blue Cross Blue Shield is not going to take care of this because that was too close. I hadn't made very many payments on my insurance, and it went through with flying colors. And they took care of a large percentage of the hundreds of thousands of dollars it was going to cost. And so God came through for me in many, many ways. I did accumulate $5,000 cash. It was in a drawer in the house. And the Lord healed me. We went to a general conference, and at that general conference, they were sending out missionaries. And missionaries were going all over the world. And they were telling the story of someone could give $100, if somebody could give $25, if somebody could give $200. This missionary can go back to their place of work, and they will not have to be on furlough any longer. And they won't have to raise partners in missions any longer, but they can go straight back home and continue their work. And the Lord tapped me on the heart, and I stood to my feet, and I walked down the aisle, and I gave that $5,000 to foreign missions. Praise God. Hallelujah. What God did for me was worth more than $5,000. I couldn't put a dollar sign on it, but I knew that I could give what I have, and I gave what I have. Hallelujah. I sent some missionaries back to the foreign field. Why? Because the provider healed my body. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord now. I feel the anointing breaking some yokes now. Amen. I'm just telling you. Amen. The Lord said, I will bless you. I will bless you. How will He bless me? I don't know, but you better keep your eyes open, because dollar signs is not the only blessing that God has. Amen. Look at your body. Look at yourself tonight. There's not a soul in here tonight that's connected to oxygen. There's not a soul in here tonight sitting in a wheelchair. There's not a soul in here. Listen to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are blessed, and we are blessed perpetually, on and on and over and over and over again. Somebody shout, what a mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so it is that we need God, and so we need to seek Him first. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so look at the thermometer of one's faith tonight. Giving becomes more than an option to Christians. It's nothing short of the thermometer of a person's faith. Hallelujah. When one accepts God's financial plan, he expresses faith that God will provide for him because of his obedience. Amen? Failure to accept the Lord's plan is an expression of doubt. It has to be. You're saying, God can't take care of this, so I need to hold it back, and I need it for myself. One is saying that he can take better care of himself than God can. Doubt is the only real reason for failure to give tithing and offerings to God. Therefore, an individual's faith is best expressed through giving, and that produces bountiful reaping. Stingy giving produces stingy reaping. And this giving, when done in faith, will come from a cheerful heart. I've always told folks, and I've gotten pastors upset at me when I take up offerings in their special meetings. They'll say, Brother Marshall, you mind taking up offerings? Sure, I'll take up offering. I go up and take up offering, and I said, who can give tonight cheerfully and be excited about it? Man, people raise their hand. And I said, that's the ones I want to give. The rest of you don't give a thing. One pastor told me after service, he said, look, I don't care who gives, whether they're happy or not. I said, I understand your point, but they're never going to get anything out of it. I said, they may as well keep what they have. They're going to need it. I've always said to this church, if you can't give and be happy about it, please don't give. Please don't give. Because I want it to be like worship to the Lord. I want it to be praise like to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We're not going to milk you, and we're not going to beg you, and we're not going to plead every service and all the time. Amen. I'm only teaching it tonight because it's about time. Praise God. Amen. But I'm just telling you, let's get a witness. Let's get a cloud of witnesses. I want folks to jump to your feet that know that God has blessed you directly because of your giving. Hello? Hello? You can say what you want to, but we don't have this many liars in the house. We've got young people. We've got elderly people. We've got singles. We've got people that don't make much. We've got people that make a little more. And they're giving to God, and they will not stop because God has proven Himself time and time again. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Let's look at the steward's redemption plan. Exodus 13, 1 and 2 teaches that all the firstborn belong to God. This includes the firstborn of men and beasts. Now, I want you to listen very closely here, because I'm going to give you something from the Old Testament perhaps you've never heard before. So listen to me very closely and pay attention. The firstborn are the first fruits of men. So this could be called human tithing. Now listen to me. Later, priesthood then became the human tithe. I'm not talking about human sacrifice. Don't you dare go somewhere saying they believe in human sacrifice, that church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or there will be a human sacrifice. Just kidding. Amen. God said that he had taken the Levites in the stead of the firstborn. The firstborn were the ministry. Firstborn were the Levites. Firstborn were the priesthood in the Old Testament. So the priesthood then became the human tithe. Today, the apostolic ministry represents a human tithe. God has taken ministers of the gospel in the stead of requiring all the firstborn sons to be given. When one understands this, he sees the tithe as a redemption factor. I want you to catch this. Everybody shout, redemption factor. Say it again. Repetition is the greatest teacher. Say it again. Hallelujah. And so we're talking about the redemption factor. Praise God. And God's chosen way of providing for the Levites was through a tithe on all the increase. The Levites had the responsibility of providing for their families in the house of God. This tithe on the increase met that need. Everything is God's. Everything is God's. Yet when one tithes, he redeems the remainder for his personal use. It is not his to disperse until it has been redeemed through tithing. You can't offer God an offering if you haven't given your tithing, because you have not yet redeemed all of your income for that week or for that month. Your tithing will redeem the rest of it. And then you can offer God an offering. But if you neglect your tithing and try to give a little offering, you're not giving an offering. You gave a pinch of your tithing, and you're still robbing God. Does that make sense? But when you tithe, first fruit, the first thing you do is give God his part. And when you give God his part, then you have redeemed the rest of your income. And when you redeem the rest of your income, give God his. And God, when you've redeemed the rest of your income, it means the hand of God has been allowed to be placed upon it. And that is when, subsequently, you begin to be blessed mightily of the Lord. That's when the doors begin to open. That's when the windows begin to open. And that's when he begins to pour you out blessings that you cannot contain. But if your income is not redeemed, then God can't bless it, because you've not given him his part yet. Does that make sense? Amen. Praise God. And so, according to Numbers, God's chosen way of providing for the Levites was through the tithing. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this pastor. I have never, ever taken all the tithing in this church. I could. It's biblical. But I never have. And I never, ever will. In fact, the larger the church goes, the less tithing I take. And the reason for that is so that we can put it back into the church of the living God, so we can grow the church of the living God. If I didn't do that, we wouldn't be having the revival we're having, because it takes money. Amen. Now, let's look at robbing God. The word of the Lord in, Micah? Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. Amen. Why don't we look at that real quick? Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto them, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? What have we done that we need to return to? That's how far away from it they had gotten. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You say, wherein have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offering. You're cursed with a curse. I'm just simply saying here tonight, not only are you not blessed in your income for not tithing, but you are also, what does the word of God say? For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to see that. We are robbing our nation of revival, evangelism, and church growth. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Those that are afflicted, those that are addicted, and those that are restricted need to be set free. And they cannot do that on their own. The Lord put His fingerprint upon you and made you a saint of God so that He could trust you and have confidence in you. Am I right? Hallelujah. And so it's one thing for me to trust and have faith in God, but it's another thing for Him to have trust and have faith in me. And when He can have trust and faith in me, then we can reach our nation. Until then, our nation will continue to be spiritually crippled. I just want you to see with spiritual eyes how that your money can turn into people sitting in this place worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Your income and blessing the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I know that there are pastors and preachers that are intimidated and reluctant to talk about finances. Amen. I don't know why, unless they're doing something wrong. But when you're not doing anything wrong, get up there behind the pulpit and preach it like God wants you to preach it, so people can be set free and liberated from this world and from this nation. Amen. His first charge was that they had abandoned the ordinances of God. The main ordinance he referred to was this law of the first tenth. The failure to yield tithing and offering was called robbery. Robbery is taking something that belongs to someone else. If the wealth belonged to the individual, then failure to tithe would not be robbery, but simple disobedience. But since everything belongs to God, one robs Him if he uses this money for anything before it has been redeemed. This money is not for the individual usage until it has been redeemed by giving God His first tenth. We are not at liberty to spend our money as we want to spend it until we give God His. Amen? So the word tithe means tenth. The Bible term refers to more than just a tenth, but it is the tenth. There's no doubt that God is referring to the first tenth when He refers to the tithe. People do not derive their living in the same manner as those in the Bible days. Somebody say, thank God. Quite often, goods were exchanged as where money is used for bartering today. Money is used and everything has its affixed value. The only way to determine increase is through income in the New Testament. The question is quite often asked as to the proper way to tithe. Should it be on gross or net income? This is not a simple question to answer, but let me do my best. The safest way to tithe is on gross. But Jesus did say to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God which is God's. It's Matthew 22 and 21. If one tithes on net, he should make sure that he tithes on all increase after the net. Taxes provide services that would cost a lot if the individual had to pay for them, but this taxation is not, it's not a willful act of the contributor. I would to God that Uncle Sam would catch on to what God does. Hello? It's a sad thing when the government wants 3, 4, 5 times more than God does, but we so willingly give it to Him, and we want to complain about what God wants. Don't make sense when God is going to reward you for your giving. And I'm not so sure about Uncle Sam right now. Praise God. And so it is. Money market and savings deductions are definitely increase. Let every person make this decision prayerfully and spiritually. And if you choose to tithe on net, then you need to make sure that you tithe on your income tax refund. Praise God. Amen. And so I'm challenging you just to tithe on your gross. Have fun with the refund. Where does one tithe? There's only one place to tithe. And if these specified monies are contributed anywhere else, they're not tithing and are not effective in redeeming the remainder to oneself. I had a lady ask me in a restaurant one time. She said, "You're a pastor?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I've got a question." I said, "Okay." She said, "My son's in college, and he doesn't make a lot of money. So can I send my tithe to him to help him?" I said, "No." That was not what she wanted to hear. She said, how come? I said, because your tithe belongs in the storehouse. That's the house of God. That's where your tithe belongs. You want to help your son? Then pinch back somewhere else and help your son. But don't take God's money and give it to your boy, because it won't bless you, it won't bless God, and it will not bless your boy. Amen? Praise God. Because the Levites or the ministry had no inheritance among the people, they were provided for through the tithing. The first and foremost purpose for the tithe is to provide for the ministry. The inhabitants of each town and village had their own Levites. The local people were responsible for providing for the local Levites. Not another priest in some distant village, but where they were. Someone asked if they could send their tithe to another minister. Well, answer this. Can the shopper at Kmart pay for what they bought at Walmart? Can you step into one restaurant, eat their food, and go to another restaurant to pay for it? One can make a donation to another ministry, but it will not be considered a tithe in the eyes of God. If the church member sends tithe to a minister other than his pastor, he's removing his membership from the local assembly and transferring to another. No godly pastor will accept tithe from a member of another congregation. I am very, very, very careful about that. Because you get new converts and they come and visit in some of these conferences we have, you know, and they'll drop things in the offering that belong in their home church. And we want to see to it and make sure that that's exactly where it gets. Praise God. Amen. Anything above the tenth is considered an offering. It is impossible to give an offering before one has paid their tithing. You can't give what you do not possess. And until it's been redeemed, it's nothing. It's not God's to give. You see what I'm saying? Until you give it to Him, He cannot give you back what you rightfully belongs to you, because it's not been redeemed again. Amen. And so thus we rob God when we fail to submit tithing and offering. And I do say tithing and offering. He said, you've robbed me. They said, how? He said, tithing and offerings. Praise God. There were times when an offering of 5% was required of the Jews, but this can't be proven as a consistent requisite. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says one should give as he purposes in his heart. This does allow the individual jurisdiction to decide for themselves. We're free moral agents here in the New Testament. You don't have to tithe if you don't want to tithe. You don't have to give in the offering. You didn't even have to be here if you didn't want to be here. But let me ask you this. If you did those three things on a consistent basis, do you feel that you'd be a better person and God would bless you for it? Then it only makes good common sense to do what God would have us to do. To please Him is why I live. Amen. I am not a husband first. I'm not a daddy first. I am not a pastor first. I am a child of God first. I am a Christian first. So God, I can lose my position in this church, but I can still be a Christian. I can lose my voice and never be able to preach again, but I can still be a Christian. So first and foremost, priority is to be a child of God. In order for me to be a child of God, then I've got to make Him my Father. I'm talking about some stuff that pleases Him as my Father, and things that He requires of me as a child of God. And so those are things that I must give Him and offer Him freely, willingly, and cheerfully. And I'm saying again, don't do it until you can be happy about it. But don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. Long is wrong. Praise God. That's what I tell our preachers when they come preach for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I love giving it. I love living it. And I love loving it. Amen. And I thank God. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you understand that? You know what it says, but do you understand it? You pass by a homeless individual and they have no money. I've passed by homeless folks pushing a little stroller with a baby in it. I'd stop, give them a little money to eat with and maybe buy some necessities for the baby. I hope that's where it went. I'm not sure. You never know. But I hope that's where it went. The reason the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive is because I could have been that man pushing that stroller. And that man could have been sitting in my Toyota pickup with that $5 in his pocket. Which one would you rather be? The one giving or the one that needed to receive? So no wonder it's more blessed to give than to receive, because the giver always has something to give. Let's stand together. And I'm telling you tonight, God always has something to give. But we've got to redeem everything that we have. We've got to redeem everything. Amen. I want my children saved. I want my family saved. I want to be saved. I want this church saved. I want this church saved. And so that being said, let's go back to our first fruits. And let's redeem it every time we get the opportunity, so God can bless everything that we have everywhere we are. Amen? Praise God. Do you love the Lord tonight? Are you a cheerful giver? Well, then let's cheerfully give Him some praise right now, shall we? Let's just cheerfully offer up the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Come on. They got to the cripple because they said it was noised abroad. They heard what was going on in the house, and that's how they got that cripple to that house. Amen. If somebody was looking for us, I hope they can hear us tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege. Thank you for the honor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something good tonight. And that is, I believe with all of my heart that before this year is up, we will have 21 acres of land paid for. Where's my wife? There she is. Honey, don't it make you feel good to know that we made the payment to this church? Knowing that that could happen. We released a payment from this church many years ago from the burden of the people. And my wife and I have made the payment to this church. Hallelujah. Along with some other things. So that the money could be more free. So we could build and reach and teach and touch. And just, you know what? You know all this. And before the year is out, a 400-seat auditorium will be completely paid for. And after the new year begins, it won't be very long before we stick a shovel in the dirt and we start building a new tabernacle right outside these doors. Somebody feel what I feel. Somebody witness what I... I wish I could say we inherited this bunch of folks, but when we came into town, there was about 12 people or so, counting my family. Hallelujah, buddy. It wasn't just a few months after that. We added one more. Cody was born. Praise the Lord. Cody was one of my best witnesses I ever raised up. He was about 4 years old. I'd take him knocking on doors with me. We'd canvass the area and go through the neighborhoods knocking on doors. Amen. Somebody would open the door. Cody would look at him. He said, "Hey," he said, "my name's Cody. This is my dad. He's a preacher. You got any toys?" Man, we could get in anybody's house. I'll never forget, Speedy Lore is gone to his reward now. Amen. He died shortly after he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But before that, when Cody was real little, we'd go down there and they let us keep a couple horses down there in the pasture. And Cody, he'd always come out of Speedy's house. And he'd be carrying candy. I mean, a double fistful. He'd just be carrying candy. He was so happy. And I said, Cody, I said, what are you doing? He said, he just gave me candy. I said, look, buddy, I want to tell you something. This is on another trip headed to feed the horses and all that. I said, Cody, let me tell you something. And I told him, I said, don't you dare go asking Speedy for candy. And man, he had an answer like that. He said, hey, no problem. He was standing up in the seat beside me over there, you know, against the law and everything. And he said, no problem, Dad. He said, I'm not going to ask him for it. He already knew what he was going to do. So I was down there mucking out the stalls and feeding the horses and all that. Here he came down the lane, two double fistful of giant-sized Butterfingers, grinning from ear to ear. I said, Cody, I told you not to ask him. He said, Dad, I did not ask him for any candy. I told him, my dad told me that I cannot ask you for candy, but you can ask me if I want some. Cody's at Bible college and he's 20, 21 years old. We still won't let him live that down. But you can ask me if I want some candy. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of blessings. He's the giver. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having money. As long as it doesn't become your God. It doesn't become, you know, hey, don't get gold fever just because God's blessing you a little bit. There's more where that came from. You got it because you were a free giver. Continue to freely give, and God will bless you with even more. I believe with all my heart there's folks in here that are going to take care of our business here at this church just from your tithe. Wouldn't it be awesome when we build that 700, 800 seat auditorium, whatever it's going to be? Amen. That when we build that, that by the time we got it built, wouldn't it be awesome to pay for it? You say you constantly want to pay for things. How come? So we can continue to reach the world. Amen. Our goal is to pack that place with people and then begin to send groups of men and young people that want to go to third world countries and start building churches like crazy. One of the greatest rewards I ever got in my life was when we went to Malaysia and we built a church in 4 days. When I preached in that church the last day, it was jam-packed. The natives themselves, they organized that because there were more people there than could fit in the church. And so they worked it out themselves outside. First group first, second group last. And we had, I think that night, we had 40, 50 people receive the Holy Ghost, baptizing them left and right in Jesus' name. Amen.